still trying to use his knife to cut it free from the traces.
He's mine!
Don't let him take you with him, Ryan.
The sweat of the animals was rank in Ryan's nostrils as he dove forward, fighting for balance, steadying himself on the backs of the rear pair of horses. He saw his adversary crouched in front of him. The knife blade waved menacingly in Ryan's direction.
Come on, Outlander! Come on, get your gizzard sliced!
In any knife fight, the relative positions of the combatants were often crucially important. Hunched over between the animals, the little man had the distinct advantage. So Ryan stayed where he was, staring at his opponent, trying to work out the best way of attacking him.
Come on, you bastard!
Seeing Ryan hesitating, the small man took the opportunity to reach down to start cutting through the last inch or so of soft leather to free the horse. It wasn't much of a chance, but Ryan realized that was the best he was likely to get. He flung himself forward. The point entering the side of his face, just below the right eye.
You fucking...
Ryan had to duck quickly away from a savage upward thrust, nearly losing his grip on the blood-slick hilt of the heavy ponga. A river of watery crimson flowed from the horse thief's blinded eye.
Ryan, look out!
Whoa, goddammit! Whoa!
Totally panicked, the horse team was raging along like the wind. Despite his hideous wound, the crouched figure hadn't given up. He elected to try it all on a single desperate throw. He punched with his left hand at Ryan's knife, jabbing with his own shorter blade as he dove toward his assailant. Ryan had been expecting it and parried the clumsy charge easily, thrusting the panga home under the guarding ribs. But it wasn't over. As the man started to topple from the rig, he grabbed at the sleeve of Ryan's coat. Now, with a mortally wounded man gripping his coat like a drowning man snatching at a spar, Ryan knew with sick certainty that he was going over and off. Using every ounce of his strength and agility, he managed to throw himself forward, knocking away the clinging fingers, reaching out for the back of the galloping leader, feeling slick, powerful flesh pounding under him. The attacker slipped off, his body draped across the wag hitch for a few thundering steps, then slipping away and vanishing under the hooves and wheels. But Ryan knew he was safe. For only 5 seconds, until the sliced strips of leather finally parted under the strain of the galloping horse, the powerful animal broke away from the rest of the team, carrying Ryan Cotter, helpless, with it. Mildred was stewing up some apples, helped by Dean. Christy was sitting in the swing seat out on the porch, watching the morning shadows of the house shorten as the sun rose steadily behind her. Jack had gone out to finish the milking, walking back toward her, slightly bow-legged from the weight of the two brimming buckets. His stark white hair blazed like a distress flare, tumbling over his shoulders. The young boy in the kitchen put the big iron spoon to his lips, wincing at its heat. He blew hard to cool it so that he could taste the sweetened fruit.
How do you think he's getting on?
Whom are you referring to?
Dad.
Thought you might have meant Doc.
Or John. And stop licking that spoon, Dean.
Tastes good.
Not the point. You can spread germs that way.
Dean looked at her, the spoon frozen halfway to his mouth.
What's germs, Mildred?
Germs are... Never mind.
Christy caught Dean's attention away from Mildred.
And the answer is that we think that they're all right. All right?
Horse, come on. Slow down. Fuck. God damn it.
At the best of times and on the best of horses, Ryan would never have considered himself to be one of the world's great riders. Sprawled half on and half off a powerful runaway carriage horse, hanging onto its mane to save himself from taking a terrible fall, Ryan was totally out of control. The animal was going at a full gallop, the severed harness and reins trailing dangerously in the mud and dirt. Every single pounding step sent an agonizing jolt through Ryan's stomach and groin, making him feel desperately sick. His legs hung down, so that the toes of his trailing combat boots were only inches from the highway. The horse's skin was slippery with sweat. Ryan's groping left hand was losing contact. Making an enormous effort, he kicked out with both feet, simultaneously heaving with his right hand on the flying mane. He was so successful that it nearly turned into a lethal disaster. Ryan's desperate effort heaved him up onto the animal's broad back and nearly straight off head first the other side. With a struggle, he got his legs astride, head leaning forward on the horse's neck, both arms grasping it.
Fire blast!
Now Ryan had a transient, fragile sensation of security. Not total safety, but at least some measure of control over his own destiny.
Whoa, goddammit! Whoa! Whoa!
The animal gave no response to Ryan's shouting. Not far off to the left, Ryan glimpsed water, shining beyond the lush grass of a wide meadow. The sight gave Ryan hope. Not letting go of the mane with his right hand, he stretched up and grabbed hold of the animal's pricked left ear with his left hand. The powerful head jerked away, but Ryan persisted, digging in his nails, pulling at it. And it had some effect. They veered a little toward the left, still staying on the road, but edging toward a screen of sagebrush that guarded the flank of the pasture. Ryan tugged harder, feeling blood trickle over the velvety softness of the animal's ear, over his clenched fingers, down his arm. Unable to shake him off, the horse had to follow, cutting to its left, bolting the sagebrush as though it weren't there. Ryan hung on desperately as the black horse tried to shy away from the tearing pain in its left ear. Ryan banged his nose on the animal's neck as it jerked away, bringing tears to his eye and a trickle of crimson running down his chin. Now the lake was very close. As the horse reached the fringe of the water, it kicked up a rainbow spray. Ryan knew that this was going to be about as good a chance as he'd get. Ryan bailed out. The fear of drowning receded as he kicked and struggled, finding that the lake was less than 4 feet deep. As he stood, drenched, he saw that the panicked horse had also been stopped by the water and was standing belly deep less than 20 yards from him. It was trembling as though it had an ague, its head drooping, sweat caked across its chest, a worm of blood inching down from the damaged ear. Ryan waded out into the sweet grass and sat down to wait for the others to arrive. Jack put the buckets of fresh milk on the back porch and came into the kitchen, stretching.
Yeah, apple smell good.
No sign of life?
Nothing.
Mildred was washing her hands in the sink.
No sign of that old goat either?
Jack smiled.
Doc's fine. He got Judas to keep an eye on him. Think he needs time alone.
Mildred dried her hands on a faded linen cloth.
We all do, but I guess Doc needs it more than most. Loss like he suffered comes hard.
Jack turned to stare at Mildred, his ruby eyes drilling into her face.
Shit, I'm sorry, Jack. Me and my big mouth. At least Doc's had some time to get over it. Still only weeks, really, since Christine and baby Jenny were...
Mighted is the word.
He turned away. After the noon meal, Jack went out back to repair a broken hinge on one of the barn doors. Dean did the washing up, then drifted after the older boy. The sky was clear of clouds. As he looked up, Dean spotted the familiar purple-silver streak of yet another piece of pre-dark nuke space junk burning its way back through the atmosphere. Though his back was turned, Jack seemed to sense the sky burst and looked up at it too, shading his eyes, but saying nothing.
Want a hand?
Sure, Dean. Maybe even two hands.
The 11-year-old carefully unholstered his Browning high power and placed the heavy 9mm automatic on a chopping block.
Blast is too much blaster for you.
You greasing my wheels? You know I can use it well enough, don't you?
Man don't need a hammer to kill a gnat.
But you need a tool big enough to do the job, Jack. Dad says a small blaster can be worse than no blaster at all. What do you say, huh?
The teenager shook his head at the younger boy's burst of enthusiasm.
Wouldn't often argue with Ryan. He knows most about most things.
So you admit a good blaster's important then, do you?
Sure. Times it is, times it isn't.
Dean rolled up his sleeves and looked at the weather-scarred wood of the big doors.
When isn't it?
When need to be quiet.
Quiet?
Get watch under the door. Take weight. Hold steady, but I remove broke hinge.
For a couple of minutes, they were both fully occupied in wrestling with the stubborn door, fighting as it tried to twist and topple over sideways and rip all three of the rusting iron hinges from the frame. Dean soon found that his dark blue work shirt was soaked with sweat. But he was never one to give up, as long as he had breath left in his body. Eventually, they had the cross-frame door propped up in the right position for Jack to carry out the necessary repair work on it.
Take five.
Dean slumped down,